zemlja, voda, kaša, drvo i metal. U šumi može napraviti obrit od zemlje i vode i obožavati ga u skladu sa gore navedenim principima. Bhakta koji u potpunosti vlada sobom treba biti veoma razborit i miran i mora biti zadovoljan sa voćem i povrćem koje je dostupno u šumi. Smisao. Bhakta je od suštinske važnosti, ne samo da meditira na gospodina u obliku unutar uma, pijeći mantru koju mu je dao duhovni učitelj, već i da obožava gospodina u oblik. Obožavanje oblika mora biti prisutno. Impersonalista se podvrgava bespotrebnom naporu da bi meditirao na ili obožavao nešto bezlično, i taj put je veoma nesiguran. Nama se ne savjetuje da slijedimo bezlični način meditiranja ili obožavanja gospodina. Narada mu je savjetovao drugom Maharadži da obožava oblik napravljen od zemlje i vode, jer ako u džungli ne možemo imati oblik napravljen od metala, drveta ili kamena, najbolji proces je da uzmemo zemlju, pomiješamo sa vodom i tako napravimo gospodinov oblik i obožavamo ga. Bhakta ne mora brinuti o kuvanju hrane, što god je dostupno u šumi ili gradu, od voća i povrća, treba ponuditi božanstvo i treba biti zadovoljan Bhakta s tim. Ne treba žuriti za tim da kuša vrlo ukusno hranu. Naravno, gdje god je to moguće, božanstvo treba ponuditi najbolju hranu, spremnu od voća i povrća, kuvanu ili nekuvanu. Važno je da Bhakta treba biti reguliran, mitan duh, to je jedna od dobrih kvalifikacija Bhakte. Ne treba željeti da zadovolji jezik određenom vrstom hrane. Treba biti zadovoljan da može jesti bilo koju prasadu koja mu je dostupna i još čuva spomenu.
Amam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Dasate Devam Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Bhaskacharya Chatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Sivasadi Govaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Labdvadra vyamayim acham chityam vadishu vachayet abritatma muni shanto yato yata van mitavanyabhuk. Translation: it is possible to worship a form of the Lord made of physical elements such as earth, water, pulp, wood and metal. In the forest, one can make a form with no more than earth and water and worship him according to the above principles. A devotee who has full control over his self should be very sober and peaceful and must be satisfied simply with eating whatever fruits and vegetables are available in the forest. In Zagreb, I was asked by a newspaper reporter from a newspaper called Free Croatia why there was war. And in answer, we quoted the Srimad Bhagavatam, which says that it is due to karma. The example the Srimad Bhagavatam uses is a forest in which bamboo plants grow. So these bamboo plants are sometimes moved by the wind and therefore rub against each other. The friction then causes a spark to appear, which later turns the whole forest, not only the bamboo sticks, but the whole forests, into a wild raging forest fire, and finally into ash. So we explained it is not enough that there are just conflicting viewpoints. It is very probable that even in this room we have different views on different issues. In order that aggression and war can come, conflict conflicting viewpoints are not really the deciding factor. The deciding factor is something else, just like in the forest. It's not that there are different bamboo sticks or bamboo plants. Now, this is the cause for the fire. The cause for the fire is the wind, which begins to move the bamboo sticks in such a way that they rub against each other and that a fire comes. So the cause of the war is not really the Croatians and Serbians and Muslims and Albanians and Macedonians and Slovenians and so on and so forth. There was no peaceful solution simply because every party has accumulated so much karma. When I think of karma, I think of a Gostilna, where you see an animal without fur, you know, just the naked meat, rotating on a rotating device. That in itself looks so cruel, and anyone who looks at this advertisement sign in the Gostilna immediately, who is a little decent and has a little good qualities, will immediately become disgusted and think, what is this? What are these people doing? So much violence. That is a cause of war, I told the Free Croatian newspaper. And they were very interested to hear our views on this, and I'm sure they will put a rather interesting newspaper article. I told them also, if you would put the streams of blood which are every day pouring through the slaughterhouse, if you would take all the screams of the violently slaughtered animals, which under the most dreadful circumstances lose their life under the hammer of the slaughterer, if you would take all this violence and add it together, the war and the violence executed during it is just a drop in comparison to the ocean. That's all. They were shocked, but the truth has to be said in clear words that it is easy to understand and apply in practical life. So later I was thinking, how will the people who read this article ever come to the stage of non-violence, where they do not like the activity of meat eating, and where they are actually able to not do so. I was thinking like this, because many times people who are confronted with the law of karma, and to whom you say, talk about the disadvantages of meat eating, they, after they have gone out of arguments, they say, but it tastes so good. Have you sometimes heard this argument? This is the last argument. It tastes so good. I like the taste. And then you say, well, do you think that's a good argument? It's bad for your health. It's bad for your future, because the karmic reactions will be highly disturbing. It is bad for this and that, and it is bad for ethical reasons, for economical reasons, for third world reasons. But it tastes so good. So I was thinking very deeply, how can we teach, or how can we change these people's mind? And in an rather unexpected way, the answer was coming when Bhakta Uwe read to me from the Srimad Bhagavatam the other day. There it says, in order to be non-violent, you have to have one quality. And that is humility. And this statement is actually so deep. Sometimes in human relationships, we tend to be a little harsh with each other. We sometimes say heavy words, oh, glupost, you know, and butalats, and osla, and, you know, we say like this. And this is violence in the realm of words. In order to avoid it, you have to be humble. You have to understand this person is also a human being. He has his realizations. He is a part of Krishna, like I am also a part of Krishna. Let's be humble. Let us not criticize. Let us not use harsh words, and even let us not think in a harsh and heavy way. So for people to really understand that they shouldn't eat their neighbor, the animal, sounds like such a simple point, they have to first of all be a little humble. They have to understand, well, I am a very small part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and so is my neighbor, the animal. Only what? Uh-huh. Only when people actually come to the process of becoming humble, they can be non-violence. Because if you are a humble person, you don't think of violating another one. So therefore, a preacher has to somehow make the people understand that they are in a very humble position. They should not be falsely proud by large ego, but should honestly recognize the tiny position, and even helpless position, in this material world. Then they will be able to stop eating meat and no longer say such nonsense as, it tastes so good. Then this will be gone. Now, after being free from false pride and having attained the platform of humility, a person has to practice non-violence in his eating habits, but also in regards to other human beings. here it was said mitabuk. That is a good qualification. One should not satisfy it. No, one should not hanker to satisfy the tongue with a particular kind of foodstuff like sladki kuklitsa. One should not do so. One should certainly not eat the neighbor. Then after that, another quality, after nonviolence, another very important Brahminical quality has to be developed. And that is chanti. Chantir. It means, chantir. It means forgiveness. See, in the course of living in this material world, and certainly in the course of preaching, the devotee will sometimes be criticized by people who themselves have not developed any Krishna conscious qualities. They would say, you are a dreamer, or you are naive, or you are actually a little abnormal in your views and so, and activities and so on. But a devotee must not take this personally. He must forgive. That's the quality which comes after non-violence. Even in the temple, sometimes a young bhakta may behave in an impossible way. He may commit a grievous mistake, and even maybe an offense. But we should be able to forgive. Someone who doesn't learn this quality to forgive, he will never be able to develop love for Krishna, because his heart will be hard and hardened by pride and so on. Then to be simple and to be able to forgive, we also have to practice a simple lifestyle. A devotee has a quite simple lifestyle. We have no extravagant bedding. We live a clean life with regular showers. We eat whatever is there as prasadam offered to Krishna. We live a life of service. We have the morning program and the evening program and so on. That is our entertainment. It is an uncomplicated, simple life. Then the next thing is to develop, to follow the teachings of the acharyas and to become a humble servant of one's own spiritual master. Anyways, I could go on talking about developing qualities one after the other, but here I just wanted to stress the point of non-violence. It is necessary to first develop humility and being free from pride. Only in this way it is actually possible to, not go to the Gostilna. I mean the other things. Now, in order to take up the process of Krishna consciousness, we wanted to move on now. Shraddha, or faith, is the first qualification. This is important for preachers to think about and even look for during preaching programs. Yesterday, a nice guest was asking me, can you actually tell, when you look at an audience, who will become a devotee or not? And I said, well, You can certainly look for certain favorable qualities. Everyone who, who later becomes a devotee will at one stage have one quality. That quality all of you possess. It is eagerness to inquire into spiritual matters. Those of the guests who are eager, who want to know, who have questions, they can advance. They may even disagree with certain things which have been said. This is not wrong. This is natural and a sign of an intelligent person who has had his own thoughts about things. That is not disturbing at all. In fact, I become personally enlivened now when someone has a good challenge to Krishna consciousness. I know that many of those who are now good devotees, they challenged me like anything in their lives. They had many doubts. They said it's nonsense and so on. I just smiled and said, well, do you want to know our answer? And they said, yes, that's why I'm asking you. So this is the first qualification, to be eager to know. Also, our Priyacharyas and our young devotees and here in Ljubljana, most of our devotees are extremely young. Please always remain inquisitive. What is inquisitive in Slovenian language? What? Vedoželjni, yes. Always remain Vedoželjni. It is very important to remain Vedoželjni. As soon as you are stopping your inquisitive nature and become settled, that is not a good sign of progress. So that's the first quality. In order to always be inquisitive, one has to Vedoželjni, one has to Vedoželjni, isn't it? Almost. So. One has to actually learn an important thing. This gets now deep into the psychology of the conditioned soul. See, what we have learned in our material life is to be prayers oriented. Prayers means we want immediately a result. For instance, it is very pleasurable to eat 15 sladki kuglica. It tastes so good, and so on and so forth. But afterwards, you might experience some difficulty with digestion, with staying awake, because the sladki kuglica takes a lot of energy to digest, and so on. So if you are prayers oriented, prayers means just what is good immediately, then you will eat 15 to 50 sladki kuglica. But if you understand, well, in the long term, there is some bad reaction. I will be sleepy and unhealthy and become fat like a pig. It will not be good. Then you will not eat this 50 sladki, or this amount of sladki kuglica. So, most of us have only been educated to be prayers oriented. In other words, in the short run, we want the benefit. For instance, this argument of the meat eater, it tastes so good, is an argument which comes from the prayers realm. He doesn't consider what the future will bring when he will be hold responsible for his violent activities of taking part in killing or murder even. For instance, or I will bring a few examples of from the life of the Priyatelya. When you go into the cinema and look at a John Wayne movie or Tarzan, then it is good immediately. You feel very much entertained when Tarzan swings through the forest. And when he speaks with the monkeys and everything, it is very interesting to see. But the result on the long term is not good. You think all the time about Tarzan and his girlfriend Jane and how they broke the principles. Your mind will be agitated by Tarzan's war with the monkeys. I never actually read the Tarzan stories, so I can't give good examples from it. But you will see, on the long term, it is not so good. Or in the morning when the alarm clock goes, ring, ring. So on the short term, it's good to sleep 5 more minutes, which turn into 1 hour. But on the long term, it's not so good. You should have chanted your rounds. And if you're late with the rounds, the whole day just doesn't go so well. It's not so Krishna conscious. So a devotee, a young devotee, an old devotee, and the Priyatelya of Krishna has to learn to be Shreyas-oriented. Srila Prabhupada writes in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that the devotee should become enthusiastic and determined about the prospect. Prospect is what happens in the future. That he can go in one lifetime back to Krishna. That's a Shreyas-oriented thing. If one understands that material life is very limited, it is important to have some goals in his life, Shreyas-oriented goals. That's always very important thing. I was preaching yesterday to a new bhakta, and it was important for me to tell this young bhakta to go for a long result, to go for a life of Krishna consciousness, to aim towards going back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime, and to qualify for that. We should not be satisfied. If we are a preacher, we should never be satisfied by our lectures. If we are singing for Krishna on a preaching program, we should not be satisfied. We should say, I could do much better. I must think more how to present the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in nice ways so that everyone will just be melting when they hear. If we are the cook, we should not be satisfied by our preparations which we offer to Krishna. We should go not for short goals in our life, but should go for ultimate goals. Srila Prabhupada has given us 3 maxims. Maxims, this is maybe a difficult word to understand for everyone. Maxim means like truths which guide one's lives. So, first of all, we must understand This world is not our home. Ljubljana is not our home. Slovenia also not. In the Ljubljana program, someone said to me, don't talk these things here. Now everyone wants to be a Slovenian. Don't say, we are not Slovenians. Wait for two more years, then you can say it again. I smiled politely and said, yes, I will think about your idea. Obviously we have to say you are not the body, otherwise an essential point is missing. So know that this is not your home. This is the home of death. Yes. You shouldn't stay for too long with this dangerous cobra, which will eat you after some time or bite you after some time. That's the first maxim. Second maxim, know that Krishna is your true priyatelya. Priyatelya. Yes. And also lover. Don't forget this. And third, know that this material world should be engaged in the service of Krishna. Starting with your material body and mind. If you have heard, we were talking or preaching in the Ljubljana lecture and we said, the body and mind is also environment. Do you remember this point? Not very clearly, everyone. We said, in material world, or in the Western philosophy, the environment is what is surrounding us, and the granitsa between me, not granitsa, maya, between me and the world is my skin. Isn't it? This is a Western concept. This is not correct. The environment is the material world. My body is also the environment. It surrounds me. My umo also surrounds me. I am the soul. And the maya, yes. No, maya. The maya is the large ego. Please think about this point. You will feel inspired. Therefore, just like we engage the drum or this house, which is an environment, all our cars in Krishna's slujba, Krishna's service, because it's material energy, we must also understand this body and my mind is just material energy. It belongs to the world of matter. I've just borrowed it. It's a borrowed car, so to say. Let me engage it in the slujba of Krishna. Just like I would like to engage everything in the service, like apples, which we offer to Krishna on the altar, and flowers. Thank you for always making such nice flower garlands, but I feel always so bad. The economic situation is not so good here, and they're so expensive. So anyways, yes, engage the bird. So these three points, if you remember them, you will always be in Krishna consciousness. One, this world is not our home. Krishna's spirit, eternal spiritual world is our home. Krishna is our priyatelya and lover. And this world, including the body and the mind, should be engaged in Krishna service. If you remember these three points, then you are always Krishna conscious. It's not very difficult. Write them down after the lecture. Look every morning at them and your Krishna conscious life will be easier. Let us say like this. might not be that immediately you are a pure devotee, but you're on the way, one step closer to this goal. So, when we talk about qualities, developing qualities, we spoke about forgiveness as an important quality for a devotee. We spoke about humility as an important quality. We also spoke about being Shreyas-oriented, having a long-term goal. You might ask the question, is bhakti dependent, or Krishna consciousness dependent on these qualities? In other words, do I first have to develop this quality and later I can engage in Krishna consciousness? The answer is no. You just have to engage in devotional service, and then these qualities come. It's an important point. Krishna consciousness is such a nice thing because it is called the descending path. Now, I have to explain it a little bit more simpler so that it becomes. Don't have to talk so much about this point. Krishna consciousness is not so much dependent on your own strengths, because you don't have any. It's Kali Yuga. Or own qualities. It is dependent on the Milasti, yes. On the Milasti. It is dependent on that. Which comes to someone who engages in Krishna's unalloyed devotional service. It may be helpful to be renounced. Certainly. If you are not so attached and you are not always hankering for material things, that's certainly helpful. If you are lusty, arrogant, and full with many different material desires, that is not so good. And it may be helpful to have even knowledge, certainly. But you can also develop Krishna consciousness if you just execute the processes of devotional service and then get the milasti of Krishna. Last time I was here, I think I told you the story of the prostitute in Hamburg who began making her striptease dances to the record of Bow Down Mr. Hari Rama Hare Krishna. She did her her nonsense to this kind of music, to the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now, after a few weeks, she just thought, well, this is nonsense. I mean, it's so naive to take the clothes off. It's not very good for my life. I've just become so lusty. It is not good. Must change my profession. Can't do this any longer. And at that stage, when she was becoming a little iskreen, sincere, oh yes, then she met the devotees. And without knowledge, she didn't have knowledge before. She just sang, Hare, 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 she didn't have knowledge that this is not the most, that this is not the most civilized activity you can do. So just by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, she became sufficiently purified, and knowledge was coming as a concomitant factor. Anukramishyati is a Sanskrit word. It followed the activity of bhakti. So, bhakti really is such a thing. It is independent of the cultivation of knowledge and renunciation. Renunciation and knowledge will follow someone who is engaging in the processes of bhakti yoga. So therefore, Krishna consciousness is not such a difficult point. If we would say to everyone, first develop knowledge and renunciation, and then come to the temple, then you are qualified, no one would come. It's not possible in Kali Yuga, because the atmosphere is simply so materialistic and so polluted, and we are such unfortunate residents of Kali Yuga that our lives usually in this time is full of grech. Yes. So, dear Priyatelis, dear Novo Bhaktas, there is somehow a desire in me to learn the language. I don't know why, but it is very strong. Please, become Krishna conscious. Become good devotees, not just middle class devotees, full of material desires and full of maya. Go take the path of Krishna consciousness to completion, and ask Krishna to be engaged in his service as his humble instrument. This is the perfection of your existence. Ask Krishna, my dear Lord, I'm very unqualified, but please allow me to do service to you. Please give me the strength. It requires some strength to say no to Maya. Give me the strength to serve you. When we speak of prayer, Prabhupada gave us a prayer. He said, by this prayer you will be successful. Moi dragi gospodin, please give me the strength to engage in your devotional service. If we approach Krishna in this attitude, in this mood, surely we will be successful, and surely we will be able to live in the reality of Krishna consciousness and go back to Krishna in this lifetime. So Hare Krishna, wanted to thank all of you very much. It was a nice time in Ljubljana, like always. Also those who engaged in advertising the programs and making the programs, thank you very much. It was a wonderful experience to try to spread Krishna consciousness to these residents of Kali Yuga who think they are Slovenians. It was very nice to do so. And also thank you very much to the Haribol Club. This is very nice. We felt so inspired when you were always going Haribol, when we were on this, that made the atmosphere very congenial, very favorable to the spreading of Krishna consciousness, your enthusiasm. We even, Avaduta tried to stop the Haribol Club, because at one stage of the program we thought, well, this looks too much like an insider program, where everyone, you know, where the fan club is present. But the Haribol devotees could not control their tongues. They're very good. We should not be shy in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This is was very convincing. I mean, I know you tried for the first 5 minutes. You sincerely tried to stop shouting Hari Bol, but you were not successful. That is very good. For your spiritual life. Still, next time I would say, shout Hari Bol at the end of the program, because people just go, what's going on? Is this a football race, you know? But at the end of the program, it just might be a better idea to do so. But anyways, as far as Krishna consciousness is concerned, from that viewpoint, it is very good to shout always Hari Bol and Hare Krishna. Good. So I want to end here. Do you have any questions, Sasha?